This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, boat, motorcycle, RV. Well, guess what? They have a wide variety of insurance needs. We only just have, you know, let's face it, most of us don't just have an insurance need. We have multiple insurance needs. They handle them all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And by the way, they will do everything they can to save you money because customer service means everything to them. Guy that means everything to us is Neil Coolong. Sir, welcome.
You bet. As always, thanks for having me. I hope you guys are having a good day.
Well, let's start with this. There aren't many teams in the fourth quarter that can fumble on the one-yard line going in and win. How did the Steelers do this?
You know, it's the whole thing is so interesting to me because I know we made probably the same amount of content hay with Mason Rudolph last year for his three-game streak. But you look at Russell Wilson, the way that he's led the team, what he's brought them to, he fits in perfectly with the team that really over the last 4 years, perhaps the only good offensive trait they have consistently is their ability to win games late. That's about it. But that was a bad situation. You know, I didn't happen to look at what the win probability was at that point. But after a very nice drive, one that they needed to put together to get back into the game, a game that I felt Washington played really well, probably outplayed Pittsburgh in some ways. To fumble at the one like that. Now, you have a defense that can make a play on a quarterback, certainly. At least they had their opportunities. I personally think it should have been a safety. I thought T.J. Watt was pretty clearly held at a point that he could have gotten a hit on Jaden Daniels. I mean, usually that's a holding penalty, that's a safety. But for them to fight back, get the ball back, and have the offense do what it did to end the game, obviously you have the situation where you got to run the ball three times. You know that that's coming. It's tough to move against. But Cordarrelle Patterson, to get that from, what was it, third and nine, to ensure that you get that 4 or 5 yards necessary to have the option to try to draw the team offsides. Little stuff like that, that wins football games. And I think the Steelers are demonstrating week in and week out their ability to find somebody else who can be both the big star in the game, you know, Mike Williams coming from nowhere and basically like, this is the only route you know how to run with us. This is the only route you run on this play. So why don't you go get in there and go get it? And have Wilson put the most agonizingly perfect throw exactly where it needed to go. A ball that took, 12 seconds to return to the atmosphere and straight into Williams' hands. All these little things build up to a team that it's hard to bet in favor of them, but it's really hard to beat them, too. And it's almost like this is kind of accentuating the Steelers team we've watched over the last couple of years. You know, we've talked several times how it really the only attribute the Steelers had in some of those seasons was their ability to win games they shouldn't have won. They'd finish 9-7, 9-8. With bad rosters and 5 total upset miracle wins. And they did it week in and week out. I felt the Washington game was very similar to that. And my feeling was when Jalen Warren fumbled the 1 yard line, Washington got the ball back, immediately what I'm saying is that's game, and Washington doesn't have to do much to close this out. So because of that, I'm really excited to see how the Steelers are going to win this game, and they did.
And they figured out how to do it, and with Russell Wilson at quarterback and his ability to fall away and still be able to deliver a ball accurately is really a stunning attribute at any age, including this one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's almost just like he's built for this island of misfit toys offense that the Steelers have had over the last couple seasons, because he's at his best when it's imperfect. They're not on schedule a whole lot, though I will say we saw some pretty impressive stuff against Washington. It really seems like Arthur Smith has got this going in the direction that he would want it to go. I'm not sure we've really seen a streak like that recently in Pittsburgh, but Wilson is the straw that's stirring that drink. And a large part of that is, believe me, I'm the first one to laugh at him. He's kind of dorky. He's not your traditional professional athlete. He really, really wants that shining star type of guy persona to be reflected everywhere. I understand that part of it, but it dude doesn't quit. And it's not lip service. He's playing hard every single play. And honestly, I don't think they would have won the last couple games with Justin Fields or any other quarterback. And it's not an ability thing. It's just that Wilson, he doesn't give up. And he's under pressure. That's when he's going to make a play. He doesn't quit on what he's doing. And it really seems like the offense is believing that. You know, they're following him. For example, I don't know what he did with Broderick Jones, but you see it often enough. It really seems like Jones is rushing to help him up. Wilson's the first one he's going to after a touchdown is Jones. It really seems like there's something kind of developing between those two in terms of chemistry. And Jones hasn't played well in two consecutive games in his career. And he just did that. He might have just played his best game. So you're getting buy-in from everybody. And I think it's that when teams talk about needing to have character winning games, it's that ability, it's that kind of bond that you build that makes you not blink, as Mike Tomlin would say, late in games when you're down a bunch on the road, difficult situation to be in against a good opponent. They're playing their best football. They're making the plays they have to make. And with that, you're seeing a level of success that, frankly, I know the first half of the schedule wasn't very good, and nobody really would have thought going into the season that Washington was going to be much. Washington's a good football team. I don't care what anybody says. They played really well in large stretches of this game. This is one they're going to be kicking themselves over that they really should have won. Made a few more mistakes at the end, I think, than the Steelers did. But that's a playoff team. I wouldn't be surprised if they won a playoff game. They're really good. Yeah. For the Steelers to walk in and win that game, considering the adversity that they faced, certainly in the second half, very impressive. You have to, from a coach's perspective, you don't want to play the Steelers. I get that the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens are the tops of the AFC, but they don't want to play the Steelers. And I guess we'll find out this week how real the Steelers really are, and definitely a much more daunting task. But Baltimore knows what this Steelers team is capable of doing, and it's going to be a battle.
All right, so we all know that they put a lot into the offensive line in the offseason, and guys have been hurt. Overall, how has this group played?
I think they've been... I think at the end of the year, we'll look back on is kind of a, you show me your plan and I'll laugh. Because they had a much different group in mind, I think, overall.
Right.
And they put good pieces in place. They've had to play kind of a game of musical chairs with them. I don't think anybody expected C.J. McCollum to make starts this season. Frazier has been hurt. He's played like a rookie. Mason McCormick, I think, is maybe been the best game in and game out. Siamalu wasn't right the first game, maybe two, when he first came back, but he's back to a Pro Bowl level. And again, I've ripped on Broderick Jones enough. I feel like I owe him a good bit of credit. He's looked really good the last couple games. You might tap into the potential, the enormous amount of potential that kid has. You might really get dividends on that investment toward the end of the season. That's where it's kind of trending right now. To say nothing of the fact that there was a 2-year stretch, Steve, where I didn't rip on – 2-year stretch where I ripped on Dan Moore every single segment.
Yeah.
And you really can't do that anymore. He's legitimately one of the better left tackles in the NFL. That's not hyperbole. He's doing it game in and game out. He's doing it in both phases. How many penalties has he committed this year? One, maybe? I'm just saying that because I don't think it's zero. It's not very many. He's played very well. And this is a unit that has been patchwork. They've flipped guys in and out. It's becoming what you really hoped it could become starting last year with where they were building it. And the massive investment that they put into the team this past year, those guys getting thrust in to the spotlight early, they're getting excellent results. It's not the best they're going to be, though. And again, the main thing I would really tell people right now is you're happy with 7-2. That's great. They're not going to go 15-2 this season. I can guarantee you that. They've got a slobber knocker of a schedule the rest of the way. There's some really good teams in there that they're going to lock horns with. I don't think they're going to win all of those games. What I will say, though, is come week 15, week 16, if they stay healthy, you're going to be looking game to game at one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. They're growing to that level. This is what they were hoping to get from them, and I think it seems to be pointed in this direction. And I understand, too, I'm not giving them the division championship or anything. I'm not even saying they're going to beat Baltimore this weekend. I think you're going to see some of the best Steelers football late in a season coming up just because they've put in all of this work. It's all starting to kind of come back to them now. And there's some excitement after a win, but really you've got all the pieces that they've tried to put together for the last several seasons. I think it's finally coming together for them. And I think we're going to see an excellent team toward the end of the season. Let's see how long it takes them to get there. They're going to need to stay healthy, like anybody would. But they're on a good track. I think they have the ability to make some waves in the AFC.
I know that people will make a big deal about Deontay Johnson coming back. To me, the big deal is whether Kyle Hamilton's going to play. He actually is a legitimate NFL player. To me, that's the one to watch for in this, if Hamilton plays, because I guess his MRI came back and they got good news out of it. How about that? But I think that he's a critical part to everything we're watching.
Yeah, he's also a Strasser type of guy. They asked him to do a lot in the pass game and the run game. And as we've seen with Baltimore, they've struggled enormously in coverage. And it's not, in my opinion anyway, it hasn't been a physical thing nearly as much as a mental thing. Right. Guys are out of place. They're not getting lined up properly. This is, the back seven, not just the secondary. Really, all seven players involved with their coverage have been missing quite a bit. And some of that is the lack of Hamilton recently, not 100% status of Hamilton recently, but they're in a slump, and you don't really break slumps by having your best defensive player out. So that's a critical difference for them. Great all-around player, does a lot of things really well, probably more disruptive around the tackle box than anything else. He's probably at his best stopping, short passes, screens, flares, things like that. As well as your running game. And these are things the Steelers do quite a bit. So if he's playing, you have to assume he's good enough to get out there. You have to assume that he's going to be able to play. But, I think they really need him out there. And everything you saw of that injury, everything that you've heard, he's not really going to be around 100%. So maybe that helps with something a little bit. I'm sure the Steelers are going to try to challenge him. But he's a good player. He's going to make things happen as well, and you hope for the Steelers' sake they can figure out a way to make hay with him on the field. I'm not wishing for anybody to be injured, but without him in there, their defense is really in trouble.
Well, that's what Lamar Jackson is interesting. People don't realize what the NFC record is. I think he's lost one game to an NFC team. That was the game with the Giants, the one where Saquon did the hook slide at the two-yard line to put the game away. Because they don't see him all the time. So it's a very difficult guy to get ready for. The Steelers see him twice a year. Neil, he's always going to be a threat no matter what. But when you see somebody that often, you kind of get an idea of what he does, why he does it, where he wants to go, what angle he does it at, and I think it makes a big difference.
I think if we were just to look at records and performances to evaluate a quarterback, I think what your theory holds water. I remember we talked about this last year as well. Jackson play the NFC. They don't see him as much. I think there's a certain level of fear that sets in. He's such a game-breaking player, along with the idea that they're not used to the subtlety of his game, how he's being called, where he's going. Because with speed and quickness like his, there's a massive difference between he's attacking through A gap versus B gap versus the sideline. He has a tendency in certain times to do certain things. I feel that's true, because if you flip it around, the Steelers have seen him as much as anybody. Now, he's been hurt a few games here and there, but they've played him plenty often. And he doesn't tend to do a whole lot. You remember last year, I think it was the game in Pittsburgh, because Trubisky lost the one in Baltimore. But the one in Pittsburgh, I don't know what happened to him in the second half, but, oh, my, he was horrible. I mean, he made a lot of really bad decisions, physical mistakes, turned the ball over, poor decisions, and it clearly an inferior Steelers team won the game, largely because Jackson just I melted down. I don't know what happened to him. It's always seemed like you put the two coaches against each other, John Harbaugh versus Mike Tomlin. There's a level of enthusiasm there from one coach, maybe not so much from the other. It's a bit more steely and a bit more, contained. Harbaugh has always seemed to kind of live with the highs and the lows a lot. And it really has always felt to me like they can't get over the idea of just putting the screws to the Steelers. They've wanted to. They've had the ability to do that. And then it seems like they force themselves into mistakes. And they've done that so much lately. I wonder how much of that is put onto Jackson. Jackson feels like you got to beat the Steelers. This is the team that you need to show everybody that you can do this against. I remember laughing a while ago when they lose again to the Chiefs, and everybody in their locker room was talking about how the Chiefs are their kryptonite. It's like, no, you need to be Superman to have a kryptonite, okay? They're Superman. I don't know what you are. You're a rock to them. You don't beat them. You're not on their level. The Steelers are the Ravens' kryptonite if they are Superman. If you're looking at it in that way, the Steelers beat the Ravens consistently, and Jackson in particular plays poorly. And a large part of it is they confuse him. They don't see what he's doing. A couple of years ago, I remember the first play of the game, the first pass he threw, Robert Spillane picked him off back for a touchdown. Robert Spillane doesn't intercept passes, let alone return pick sixes on Lamar Jackson. He makes mistakes like that, and I don't know if it's something breaks down that they're not understanding or seeing. But here's a project. This is what we should do. Let's go back and watch the film. Count the amount of Lamar Jackson sideline helmet throws he's had against the Steelers. It's got to be a dozen by now. They've frustrated him. They don't hit him as much because nobody really hits him. He does not throw the ball particularly well, and they don't give up much on the ground. That said, we could see him drop 41 with Lamar, another 158-3 rating game, 200 rushing yards on Sunday. He's that good of a player. But the Steelers have had his number lately, and I wonder how much of that is there's a lack of intimidation coming from the Steelers because they have seen him as often as they have, whereas other teams, still kind of cycling through, they haven't quite gotten to that point yet.
No, they haven't. My friend, thanks so much. I slipped in Deontay Johnson's name just for a couple laughs, but appreciate you as always.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong joining us this half hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We have not just an insurance need. We all have multiple insurance needs. Well, they take care of them all and do everything they can to save you money. A Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right, back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury Motors.
Hi. I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucsons with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucsons, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the show today. Thanks to Neil Coulong, Matt Cotrillo, for giving us two different ways of going about the show. One, rational, measured, insightful. The other one, bordering on that line between genius and insanity. I figured I'd just, like, you know, throw the genius and insanity thing in just in case, you know. Yeah.
We'll let the listeners pick who's who.
I already know which way they're going.
I know too.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Yeah. Schedules. I talked about this yesterday, but I want to reiterate. When you expand the conference, I've talked about this many times. You're looking for the financial return of it. We'll start with that part, okay? In other words, who can step in and make your conference more financially viable, more attractive to TV, whatever, sponsorships? No getting around it. I mean, you're looking for that. Now let's get to the competitive part. Okay. Competitively, did SMU make the ACC better? Competitively, yes. Brand-wise, no, but competitively, yes. Cal and Stanford have done nothing for them. Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, have they made the Big 12 competitively better? No. Why? Because they're replacing Texas and Oklahoma. Sorry, but you're not going to be a better conference when you lose Texas and Oklahoma. I don't care who you replace them with. Okay? And that's a big issue here. And then the same thing with the Big Ten. Did the Big Ten become a better, deeper conference because they added Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC? Absolutely. See, what you're getting now, again, when the season's over with, when the season's over with, everybody's going to be at 500. The whole thing. Right? So because it's going to be at 500, how did you get there? Did you get there through routes? Did you get there through non-competitive games? Or did you get there through a bunch of close games? Well, you get there in the Big Ten and in the SEC. For the most part, not perfect, but for the most part, you got there with close games. Competitive games. And that's what you're looking for. Those kind of games right there. And I think that tells you everything about your conference. The depth of it brings with it more competitive games. That way, when the cream rises, your cream's good. Instead of getting a conference where you route everybody and everybody's like wondering exactly how good you really are. So that's what the addition of Oklahoma, Texas to the SEC. Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA have meant to the Big Ten. And don't start sitting there going, oh, well, then no. It's the way it is. They're better teams than some of the other teams they're playing. I don't know what you think about that, Todd.
I agree completely. I don't know sometimes if people think that way, though, and I think that's sometimes the issue, especially when they get into that room. And they probably should. I last week when they were talking about Texas, Ward Manuel mentioned that they counted that win at Michigan as one of the big ones, and I kind of chuckled at that because, you know, Michigan's been Michigan this year, but you know, you go back to that. We didn't know about Tech. We didn't know how good Texas was until they went on the road to Michigan, though. Either, though, did we?
No, we had a much better read on them after that.
Yes,
no question.
And so I think, you know, even the for lack of a better term, middling teams in the SEC and Big Ten this year tell us, you know, give us an idea about how good some of these better teams are, even if, you know, Michigan isn't quite the Michigan they were last year.
I mean, for example, Washington beat Michigan at home. Right? Played well. Beat them. And that's, you know, again, it's the depth of the league.
I mean, go to Saturday with Indiana and Michigan. I mean, that was a really close game, and I think people, you know, I think people were questioning Indiana, and I think Indiana got a little bit of a lift, you know, just from winning a close game like that last week.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And now they've got a bye week, and then they'll have Ohio State. Now me and Columbus, and that'll tell us the story on them. But they'll give them a game. Or if they give them a game, it puts themselves in a spot where they can maybe win it. The Indiana, it's hard. I've seen a little bit here and there. But I know Rourke's good, the quarterback. But, Todd, I thought their defense rose up. But you know how many yards Indiana had in the second half against Michigan?
Not many.
18.
I mean, it's a second or third time I watch Michigan, and it is just, it is a travesty that they were not ready at quarterback this season. It just,
and they didn't have Will Johnson either. You know, Will Johnson did not play in the game. They didn't have Will Johnson. In the second half, they gave up 18 yards to Indiana. Well, Indiana gets 18 yards in the second half against Ohio State. They have no shot.
No.
But they're undefeated. They're taking advantage of a weak schedule. The non-conference was built to give them 3 wins. To their credit, though, they've run off 7 wins in the Big Ten. And they have Purdue at the end, so Ohio State's the whole ball game for them.
Biggest beneficiary of no divisions in the Big Ten this year, obviously.
Well, no question. They don't have to play Penn State. I mean, that's, you know, which has been a problem for them. Rutgers they would handle. Maryland they would handle. Michigan State they already did handle.
It's just one of those things that I don't wonder if they, you know, you're in divisions, and that's kind of a school that chalks, thinks they're going to lose 3 games at the beginning before the season even starts.
Well, with the new staff, new players, they may not think that.
Well,
they don't bring the same emotional baggage to the table. That's why the most emotional baggage in any series where it's going one way instead of the other is the fans. Why? Because they lived all of them. The players are playing in it, they played like a couple times. We haven't beaten this team since 2005. Well, guess what? I mean, Darren over here wasn't born until 2004. So, right, okay, right? Had nothing to do with the other games. But you as a fan have been sitting in the same seat for 21 seasons, and it's driving you nuts that they haven't beaten them in how many years, right?
True.
Right? Right? And the fan has more emotional baggage about streaks one way or the other than the players do. Now, if you're in a position like Ohio State with Michigan, right, you have players all over that team that have never beaten Michigan, and yeah, it does bug them. Right? The older players on that team have never been. I mean, Travion Henderson has never beaten Michigan. And he's been there 3 years. Okay? It's a little different for Judkins. He's never played Ohio State. But Henderson, he's played every game. No wins. Emeka Ebuka, no wins. Now, Tate's only played them once. Smith's never played them. Will Howard's never played them. Now, Fryer, he's 0-3, the right tackle. G. Scott, the tight end, has been there the entire time. He's 0-3. So they feel that part of it. Right, but say you're in a series. Let's take Penn State, West Virginia. That's a perfect example. They went 30 years between wins. They had Sam Huff in 1955. They won. They didn't win again in the series till 1984. And Todd, they played every year. Well, who had the emotional baggage? The players or the fans that had to sit there and watch it? Right?
Yeah, somebody had to sit and watch it all those years, I would guess.
Right. Oh, yeah. Cool. That's why I always love the old thing. Well, they're just tired of hearing the same old voice. No, the fans are tired of hearing the same old voice. The players are changing all the time. And I understand that completely.
I was going to say, having just gone through it last week, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. So went through it last week. And one of those things, right, we talked about Penn State, Ohio State, it's been, one of those things. But, yeah, it's, you have players on Ohio State that have never beaten Michigan. Well, you don't think that doesn't gall them? Because they didn't play in 20. They didn't play in 20. I thought for sure they'd win in 22 because, you know, people don't realize they'd gone from 2018 to 2022 and had not played a game in Columbus. It's 4 years. And Michigan, to its credit, won. And that was with C.J. Stroud, a quarterback. Very interesting. Yeah.
It's one of those things that, you know, he is a really good football coach, but I really hate to give him credit.
Who, Ryan Day?
No, Harbaugh.
Or Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you, for example, you look at Penn State, okay? Before the shenanigans started, and it started in 2021, James Franklin had beaten Harbaugh 3 out of 4 years. I mean, nobody ever talks about it because it's not convenient to the narrative. Remember, narratives rule the day. Okay? And that's why I tell you all the time, I don't trust narratives. Do your own work. Do your own research. Figure things out. I tell my class all the time, figure things out yourself. Don't rely on a narrative to tell you. Figure out what the truth is on your own. Now, have they won every game against Penn State since? Yeah, but it coincided with Connor Stallions being around. Now, what effect that have, I don't know. I don't know. But it sure is interesting. That's when it started, right?
Oh, I think that part of it's very interesting.
I mean, I'm just saying it's interesting that that's when it started. I'm not saying that's the reason at all. But before that, Penn State had beaten them 3 out of 4 years. And I never hear anybody talk about the fact that they won 3 out of 4 from them. But you know what? Got to get ready for Purdue. Simple as that. Get ready for Purdue. That's next. And it's not a question of, oh, well, it's only Purdue. I'm sorry. Everybody to me is a threat. Especially the guy in the corner office. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Our Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, so which game are you going to cover this weekend?
Helps if I turn the mic on. Lewisburg at Danville.
I told you to go to the other game last week. You didn't listen to me.
I know. Matt and SEC 8 will be there as well Friday night.
Really?
Yes. It's a big one.
Yeah. It is a big one. Danville's played great. I mean, Lewisburg, we already know, has played great. Danville's played really good football.
Yeah, they went through a stretch in the middle of the season where at times you kind of wondered about them, but the last 2 weeks they've played real well and kind of gotten back on track, and they've won five. They're looking for their fifth district title in a row for a reason.
Yeah. Wow. be interested to hear what Greg's breakdown is of the matchup on Thursday. We have Tim Newton tomorrow. Talk about Purdue.
I thought they'd be a little better.
Boy. That's Purdue did something that I think is interesting. I don't know Ryan Walters at all. I know he's a very good defensive mind. I guess he's calling the plays, too, on offense right now. Interesting. But Purdue, if you're going to look at the history of Purdue, they've always had great success when they have been when they've had an offensive-minded head coach. I don't care if Bob Greasy was there. I don't care if Mike Phipps was there, Leroy Keyes, all the way through all the Joe Tiller years, including Drew Brees, Jeff Brohm. But their best years have been with offensive coaches.
He was the first guy to throw a lot in the Big Ten.
Oh, Tiller?
Tiller?
Oh, yeah. Tiller had the greatest line of the. They used to have all the coaches on a conference call for 8 to 10 minutes each on Tuesdays. So I would get comments from everybody because I had to do a Big Ten preview show. Okay. All right. So somebody asked Tiller about running the ball, about the inability to run the ball, and whether throwing the ball in the Big Ten was possible to win in November. Right? It was really kind of a snarky question, like one of the old-time writers. And Tiller says, he says, well, I ran this same offense at Wyoming, and that's not exactly the banana belt.
Good point, sir.
I mean, I couldn't stop laughing. It's a line I never forgot. Joe Tiller changed this league. He changed the league from 3 yards on a cloud of dust to let's have some fun and throw it.